Tonight's regular city council meeting on April 28th. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our city council makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Item 1D on our agenda is public input. Who's here tonight to provide public input to the city council? Hearing none, we'll move to item 1E, roll call. And I'll mention that Councilman Mark Snyder and Councilman Corey Everett both asked to be excused tonight.
I'll make a motion to excuse the two of them.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Item 2 is the approval of our agenda tonight.
Make that motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to our consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to our current business. Item 4A is adopting a resolution to amend the fee scale for addition of futsal court fees. And tonight we have with us Valerie Hernandez, our city park and rec coordinator. Valerie.
Hello, good evening. So we have the following changes are being presented to amend the resolution 2024-05 for parks and recreation fees. The proposed chart is an addition to the fee scale. These fees are a result of a decision the Parks Committee made to ensure a positive experience for all users and fair pricing that is comparable to other sports facility rentals on the council approved city fee scale. So what we would like to do is add the futsal court to the fee scale for $30 an hour. And the Parks Committee recommends the city council approve resolution 2025-07, adopting the changes to the Parks and Recreation fee scale. Before making a motion, if there are any questions.
City Council.
Okay, so this would be if somebody wanted to reserve it for
exclusive use.
Otherwise, if there's just a big pickup game and everybody's having fun,
yep,
people coming
absolutely
in and out, no problem.
There's no objection then. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this new fee schedule.
In the motion, it states on there, I believe it says 2025-05. It should be 2024-05. A motion if you're going to read that.
Okay, so I'll make the motion to repeal and replace resolution 2024-05 with resolution 2025-07 parks and recreation fee schedule.
Second the motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Valerie. Our next item on the agenda is to adopt a resolution to reestablish petty cash fund. Spencer.
Thank you very much. Really, tonight's item, this item has been a long time coming. We're at a point where we have enough activities and rentals and things going through the park and rec department that we really need full cash receipting down there. Right now, they have the ability to receipt, do credit card transactions, but we need to expand that so they can do everything. And this, the attached resolution will add these two items in the square here, these two change funds down for Park and Rec, two $200 funds, so 400 each. And this just allows them to take care of all the needs down there. This cash will fall under the same rules and regulations as any city money. It has to be deposited within 24 hours or like at a bank, and it has to be, it'll still be tracked and reconciled like any, like just like the money at the front counter. But it'll open things up a little bit down at Park and Rec and make things a little bit easier for members of the public so they don't register down there and pay up here. And anyway, that, oh, the box came up. With that, that's the whole item, just adding these two change funds down at Park and Rec. And the attached resolution will make that change if you so desire.
Question, City Council?
So would this be just specifically for the Park and Rec building, or does it also include like the concessions and stuff at the?
So these are just at the Park and Rec building. We already have some for the concessions, or well, the concessions now we rent out, but we have pool admissions. We have two there. We have pool concessions. We have ball field concessions. So we already have those ones in place, but this would be down at the building where people are buying their, registering their kids for okay. sports and things.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Council. I'll make the motion to adopt the attached petty cash and change fund resolution 2025-08, creating two new Parks and Rec change funds of $200 each.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now we have another resolution designating the city of Othello's agent to receive claims for damages. And our city clerk, Tanya, you're gonna explain that to the council.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is a pretty easy resolution. So in 2001, there was a resolution that designated the city administrator as the agent receiving claims. Our common practice lately has been the clerk's department, where the face of the office, that's where we receive all types of requests. So the clerk has been receiving all claims, submitting to WCIA, and then moving forward from there, whatever the next steps are. And as the records custodian, it also makes sense that the clerk received that. So this would just repeal and replace the 2001 resolution, and the only changes from the city administrator to the city clerk. Any questions?
Council? Okay. I'd entertain a motion then to adopt this resolution.
Make a motion to move to repeal and replace resolution 2001-28 with resolution 2025-09, designating the city clerk, the city of Othello's agent to receive claims.
That motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to a public hearing, which I'll open at 6:09 p.m. For STEP Housing. And with us, we have our Community Development Director, Ann Henning, to explain this issue.
So this is kind of a cleanup of our code to bring us into compliance with state law. So there have been some changes for housing at the state over the last few years. And so what this proposed ordinance does is there, the state is regulating what they're calling step housing. So that's shelters, transitional housing, emergency housing, and permanent supportive housing. We are, all cities are required to allow transitional housing and permanent supportive housing in any zone where dwelling units or hotels are allowed, and to allow emergency shelters and emergency housing in any zones where hotels are allowed. I think I misspoke at the previous one. So transitional housing, permanent supportive housing, dwelling, where dwelling units are allowed, or where house, or hotels are allowed, which is basically all of the residential zones and all of the commercial zones, where emergency shelters and emergency housing is any zone where hotels are allowed, which is the C2 and C3 zones. So we are required to define the four types of step housing as they are defined in the state law, which the ordinance does by just referencing the state law. Rather than copying in a page of definitions, we're just going to refer to each code section, the RCW, that keeps it consistent without us having to make any changes. We have to allow those housing types, as I said. We can't impose requirements for an affordable housing development that are different than for the same type of housing with a different ownership. Religious organizations, the state allows religious organizations to host a homeless encampment, things like that. Right now, they are allowed to do that. If we want to add in any of the requirements that the state allows us, we need to adopt that by ordinance. So that's, this ordinance does that as well. And then the last thing is that the state doesn't allow us to limit the number of unrelated persons that occupy a dwelling unit other than through the building code, basically. And so that, it makes that change. A few other things. There were zoning definitions for temporary and temporary shelter. I'm proposing taking those out. Temporary is already defined in the building code with a shorter time frame. The temporary shelter definition is superseded by these new definitions that we're adopting. If there's anything else we needed to discuss. So that is the ordinance as it's proposed, what you see there tonight. A few things to talk about. The city attorney recommended some notice provisions that emergency shelters and emergency housing would have to comply with as far as public notice. I had provided that language to Commerce to make sure they didn't see a problem with it. At the time I wrote this memo, I hadn't heard back, and I have heard back that yes, that's fine the way it's done.
So maybe you should open this as a public hearing, because that's what it's described as.
I did at 6:09 p.m.
Okay. You read the script and everything?
I opened the public hearing and right. Invited Ann to give testimony.
So, okay.
Yeah, we're legal.
Right.
Yep.
Department of Commerce also had commented, so let's go back to the religious organizations can host homeless encampments, shelters, things like that. The state allows us to set a time limit of not less than 6 months. And so the ordinance says 190 days in any calendar year. Department of Commerce commented that it takes a lot to get something like that going. We might want to consider longer than 190 days. Planning Commission discussed it and felt like they wanted to stick with that 190 days. If there is a religious organization that feels that this is a major barrier, they could come and discuss it with the council, and the council could consider making a change to the ordinance at that time. And then the third point, which is not in my memo, I just got the information after the memo went out, is the language about not having shelters as designated safer consumption sites that we included. That is okay that we include it. They did comment that allowing that is considered effective in minimizing the harm of substance abuse and connecting people with all manner of services to enhance their well-being. That being said, the city of Othello is best positioned to determine where they could, where those types of uses could fit within the jurisdiction. And they're not aware of any state statute that would not permit you to make this restriction. So it's okay the way it is in the ordinance. If you wanted to be more flexible, you could remove that or change that provision. I mean, it was something that was recommended by the city attorney. So I guess I would recommend keeping it as it as it's written. I believe that is all the discussion that, or the background I wanted to give to start with. I think we should have a Department of Commerce staff person on Zoom with us if we have questions. I don't know, I can't tell if she's there or not, but
I'm
was
here.
Intending to. Oh, okay. So sorry, Laura Hodgson. Department of Commerce.
Yeah, Laura Hodgson, Housing Planning and Data Manager at the Department of Commerce. I'm here in case you have any questions, but as Ann commented, all of our feedback with the city has been relayed as she communicated it.
Anybody have questions for Laura? Well, Laura, I think there's no questions at this time. But if you'll please hold on for just a bit longer until we finish the public hearing, there may be some come up in a few moments. Council, do you have any questions for Ann? Okay. Well, then at this time, I'll open the public hearing for public testimony. Is there anybody in the public who would like to give testimony tonight regarding this step housing ordinance? Jake?
Good evening, City Council. I just have a general question regarding that. The Jake Mendez Jr., civil rights activist and ACLU Washington member and an NAACP member as well. My question is that under these facilities, are they protected under ICE and immigration or border patrols for their protection as well?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
So with these housing facilities, are they protected against ICE or deportation under these certain circumstances of these facilities?
What we're doing is changing the code to allow these facilities to be built.
Just to be built?
Yes, so if somebody wanted to build one, it would be allowed by the zoning.
Okay, but under that though, would it be protected under those?
I can't speak to that, I don't know.
No, okay. Just curious, that's all, thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Chris Doro?
Chris Doro, 850 East Hemlock, also chair of the Planning Commission. Just to explain some of this, we reviewed this heavily. There's some issues that we had concerns with from a safety standpoint in particular. But I want to make this really clear. The state law on this is pretty strict and pretty crystal. There isn't a lot of space in certain circumstances. I think it's important to be compassionate about people's situations and circumstances and being able to address that. We didn't have that in our code. Without having this in place, there we would default only to the state law and state rules. And so this at least defines some important things that need to be defined in our code and addresses how this can be put together. And there's a lot of things we want as well that, you know, when people need help, it's available to them. and that it's in a place that makes sense and that doesn't impact the public too much. So that's the rules that we made with it. And I might have missed this. Did we talk about the 7,000 foot? Did that get included in this? The 1,000 foot space in between?
I'm pretty sure. Let me just verify.
I only mentioned that this was one of the things that we thought did make some sense, considering how much of our church properties were so packed in the RCW. It said that you couldn't have any of these within 1,000 feet of each other. And we thought that made a lot of sense. We thought, you know, considering where a lot of our church properties are, just the amount of density that you could potentially have in an emergency situation could be problematic. Of course, you guys could always change that as the emergency needs, but I'd recommend passing this. I think it is as good as can be done. We wish we had a little more leeway on a safety standpoint, but the state rules are pretty strict, and that's kind of where things are. Unless you guys have any questions for how we went through things.
Council.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
And I should also say, Commission did. I think they did a great job. They really we spent 2 months running through this, making sure every I and T was there, and we considered every option and circumstance. So, I think with the state law, this is a good place for us to land.
Any other public testimony? Hearing none, I'll close the public testimony portion. Council, do you need any additional information? We have Laura Hodgson on the phone from Department of Commerce. Okay. Well, with that then, I would entertain a motion to approve. Let me close. The script says to close the public hearing last, but. I close the public testimony portion and then I ask for questions. And now I'm looking for a motion, or if you would prefer, I close the public hearing first. Okay, I'll close this public hearing at 6:23 p.m. And now, Council, I'll ask for one of four options: approving the ordinance 1633, amending OMC 1709 definitions and creating 17.80 emergency shelters and housing, approving with conditions, denial, or continue to a new date or time.
I'll make a motion to approve and adopt ordinance 1633, amending OMC 1709 definitions and creating 17.8 emergency shelters and housing.
Thank you.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Now I'll move to unfinished business. Do we have any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Do you have any new business?
Is there any status on well number four?
Robin went home sick today, so I don't have any status for you.
No emergencies, no issues. Things are okay.
Yeah, things are okay. The pool committee does meet on Friday. New business, anyone? I do have a piece of new business. Angela Kutzke would like to address and discuss with the city council about the lighthouse. We have supported the lighthouse in the past using ARPA funds, and the ARPA funds, as you know, we've expended those, And that program was not budgeted in this year's city council budget, but she's asked for us to consider extending it another year. So I'm going to have her come in a meeting in 2 weeks. Do you have something to update, Spencer?
It was included in this year's budget. Yeah, this is the last year of it. That was $30,000.
This is the last year?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it, I think, August or September?
I just look at from January to December. But
January to December?
Our fiscal year. Okay. But it's included in our year's budget.
She's good until next budget season.
I think it was more than two. It was maybe three even.
Was it?
It was a couple, yeah. Anyway, but this year, it was included in this year's, with ARPA money, $30,000.
When she shows up, dig all that information out so that we're current on what?
We will. That's all I have for new business. Council also received the Othello Police Department monthly report for March, the Planning Commission minutes for March, and with no further business to come before the council, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 6:26 p.m.